I speak to you not of mine own authority, but in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. My recent vacation in Jamaica was somewhat of an epiphany. As I sat on the white sand beach and observed the ocean with its waves breaking on the beach, as I saw tourists sailing in canoes and boats, it was quite an experience that released tension and stress. It was, for me, such a peaceful time, a restful vacation. And as I looked at the tourists sailing, having fun in the crystal waters, I couldn't help but think that that was only one tiny portion of an immense body of water. Now, I want to use this, my dear friends, as an example of an experience of God. I am sure all of us here who have traveled all over this country and all over the world, that you have had many experiences of peace and tranquility. Perhaps you have experienced God in prayer, perhaps at the Mass, perhaps in reading scriptures, perhaps in nature, perhaps in childbirth, perhaps in a loving and kind person, perhaps even in suffering, we experience God. These experiences are moments for us to treasure. They could be called epiphanies for us, for the word epiphany means God manifesting himself to us. God manifesting himself to us. Like the ocean that I observed back in Jamaica, God is vast. God is eternal. God is all powerful. God is all wise. God is all loving. God is greater than the universe. So those little epiphanies any of us may have had are just one very tiny experience of the infinite God. We continue to hear the story of the Magi during the period of Epiphany. We hear about the Epiphany of three Magi. And this word Magi or Magi comes from the original Greek text, which calls them Magoi. Most likely they were from Persia or from Babylon. And these men were priests of the Zoroastrian religion. This religion, these men were known for their wisdom. They were known for their ability to interpret dreams. They were known for their astrological phenomena. And the Gospels, as we read about the Epiphany story, does not tell us how much they were. Not at all. The idea of there being three wise men comes from the three gifts that they offered: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The idea that they were kings did not originate until the 3rd century, primarily inspired by Psalm 72, in which we prayed, "The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall offer gifts. The kings of Arabia and Saba shall bring tribute. All kings shall pay him homage." We all know that King Herod, after the birth of Jesus, King Herod obviously was not one of those kings who would pay Jesus homage. So we see here what led these men to Jesus. What? Nature and scripture led them to infant Jesus. But in finding Jesus, they evidently knew that they had found something far greater than just another child. The Magi disappear from scriptures and from history, but the revelation of God's Son to us, in other words, the Epiphany, is not finished with their disappearance. There was his baptism, as we read a while ago in today's gospel. His baptism in the River Jordan. And we read also of Jesus' first miracle at the wedding feast of Cana, for example, which were at one time celebrated as part of this feast of Epiphany. All of Jesus' miracles, all of them, were manifestations of his divine power, including and especially the resurrection. So while we are looking on this second Sunday of Epiphany, on the theme of Epiphany, Epiphanies are all around us if we are alert to them. Epiphanies are all around us if we are alert to them. When we have experiences of God's love and presence, when we have personal epiphanies, they convince us that there is a God. There is a God. But too many people in this world do not move any further in their knowledge and experience of God. Too many people are content with their own personal epiphany, and they miss the spiritual growth that comes from diligently searching further for him. That's what the Magi did. They diligently searched for him. What message do we get from this? The message is this, my brothers and sisters. There is no spiritual growth for any of us if we do not search diligently for Jesus. There is no spiritual growth if we, like the Magi, do not search for the child Jesus. Let us return to the experience I had of sitting on the beach in Jamaica. It is enjoyable to sit there. It is enjoyable to watch the waves. But takes no effort on our part to totally appreciate the ocean. We have to know what many other people have learned in their travels. The ocean is as much off the coast of Virginia as off the coast of South Africa. If we want to know God, we need more than just a couple of experiences of God's love and presence. This is why we need religion. And this is why we need the church. Why? People that we meet from time to time will say to us that they don't need organized religion. We hear that all the time. But they don't realize how practical and how helpful organized religion truly is. By limiting our knowledge of the ocean to one tiny location, we'll never ever get anywhere or be very safe if we try. If we are to grow, if we are to mature in our relationship with God, we need information. If we are to grow in our relationship with God, we need maps. We need maps from others if we want to go somewhere further. We need the experience and the guidance of other spiritual persons who can teach us what we do not yet know. Here is where organized religion comes in. Epiphanies are wonderful. We should take and treasure all those that come our way. But epiphanies are meant to be helps along the journey we are all called to make. And that journey is to come to know and to possess the greatest treasure that life offers us in this world. And that treasure is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, whom we can never get enough of knowing. Amen.